Chapter 4. Meeting Martina. Harold was glad to be back on the road after Exeter. He had left early that morning after buying a little glass ornament for Queenie and a book about wild flowers. While he was in the city, Harold's thoughts had stopped. Now that he was again between towns, memories ran freely through his mind. He had begun to think about his mother. "Where are you going?" he had asked her. She was carrying a suitcase and had a long scarf round her neck. He was already taller than his father, but he was glad that his head only came to her shoulders.
"Nowhere," she said,
but she was opening the front door.
"I want to come."
"Don't be silly," she replied.
"You're almost a man."
"Do I look okay?"
"You're lovely." She took a deep breath and stepped out. Sunlight broke through the trees and Harold tried to name wild flowers from his book. He spent the evening talking to a man in a pub who worked with troubled families and children. The man tried to buy him a beer, but Harold said no. Drinking had brought too many problems to himself and his family. That night, he dreamed for the first time. He saw his father staring at the door on the day that his mother left. His father had sat there in a chair for hours with two bottles of whiskey next to him.
"She'll be back," he told Harold.
But she had not come back. Lots of aunties came instead, with names like Muriel and Vera. The boys called him Harold No Mum at school. His right leg got worse. Every time he stepped on it, pain came up from his heel. By the 10th day, the pain was there all the time. The 3 miles along the A38 to Taunton were the hardest yet, and a storm was coming. Huge dark clouds came up over the Blackdown Hills. There was no escaping the rain when it came. It poured down Harold's neck and into his shoes. On the 13th day, a blanket of grey covered the sky. Harold kept going, hating every step. He was angry with himself and he missed Maureen. He stopped at a hotel that was full of women who arrived on bicycles. The next morning, the pain was even worse and his heel had turned purple. He looked ill. He ate his breakfast quickly, hoping to leave before the bicycle women arrived, but he was too late. They came into the room laughing in their bright clothes and sat all around him.
"You know what?" said one, who seemed to be the loudest. "I really don't know how I'm going to get on that bike again."
The others laughed. The woman turned and smiled at Harold. She had dark skin and a thin face.
"These girls keep me alive," she told him.
She lived in a small flat with her daughter.
"I don't need a man," she said, and went through all the things that she could do without one. "I sleep with who I want," she went on. "I slept with my daughter's piano teacher last week."
All the women laughed. Harold was thinking that the only woman who he had slept with was Maureen. Even when she had her hair cut short and moved into the other room, he had not looked for anyone else. He smiled at the cycling mother and stood up. The pain in his heel was so bad that he had to hold on to the table. She got up to say goodbye, putting her arms round him.
"I'm as free as a bird," she said,
and laughed. He felt his heart suddenly go cold. He had noticed two deep cuts on her arm. One was old, and one still looked quite fresh. He nodded stiffly.
It was still raining and the pain grew worse. Harold pushed himself on and reached the edges of Taunton by late afternoon. As the traffic rushed past, a memory came to him of an afternoon 20 years ago when it had all come to an end. He could see his hand reaching for the shed door as he smelled old air. Everything was more silent than it should be.
No!
He shouted at the rain. Suddenly, the pain in his leg was so great that it felt like his skin was cut open. The ground rushed up to meet him. He put out a hand to stop it, but his knees bent under him and his body fell.
Forgive me, he thought, for letting you down.
Then someone was shouting and pulling at his arms. The woman who saved him had been in her bathroom and seen him fall. She brought him inside her house, sat him in an armchair, and took off his tie. The room seemed half empty and cold. There was a television on a box, and a dog was barking loudly behind a closed door. The woman checked his heart, counting quietly. She was young, but her face was thin and tired.
I don't need a doctor, said Harold. He was frightened that she would send him home.
The young woman passed him a cup of tea. She was speaking to him, but her voice was strange, and it was hard to understand her. Then he realized that she sounded Eastern European. Harold told her his story, and she listened to him silently. He said that as soon as he had finished his tea, he would leave her. That's why I can't stop or see a doctor, he said, because I've made a promise to Queenie.
But you're wrecked,
the woman said flatly.
Yes, said Harold. Your shoes are wrecked. So is your body. How do you think that you're going to get to Berwick?
Harold's head dropped. His clothes were dirty and dusty, and his shoes were wet through.
I'm very sorry, but my shoes have made your floor wet.
To his surprise, he saw that the woman was smiling. He stayed with the woman for two nights. Her name was Martina, and she was from Slovakia. His room was empty and white. The bed had a purple cover. At the window, the leaves of a tree pressed against the glass. Martina came in the morning to clean his blisters and put plasters on them.
I'm sorry about this awful house, she said. We thought that it was temporary. The dog is my boyfriend's.
She pulled up his trouser leg and ran her hands over his heel.
We need to get you right, Harold, she said, if you're going to get to Berwick.
He had never let a stranger touch his skin before.
It's okay, she said. I'm a doctor. I trained in a hospital in Slovakia. That's where I met my boyfriend. Let me look at your heel, Harold.
She washed his heel with a bowl of warm water. It felt very private, and he looked away because he did not want to look in the wrong place. It was a very English thing to do, but he had always been too English. He did not like to ask. He did not want to worry people. Maybe it would be different if he had finished school and gone to university. But his father had given him a coat on his 16th birthday and taken him to the door. There was a bus ticket in the pocket of the coat. Harold left and did what his father could never do. He found work, looked after a wife and son, and loved them. But there was no escaping your past, not even with a tie. Hadn't David shown that?
Why haven't you got walking boots? Said Martina.
Harold explained that he had planned to buy some in Exeter, but then changed his mind. She smiled and shook her head. He felt that she understood.
"I think that you must be a good doctor," he told her.
She lifted up her eyes.
"I only get cleaning work in England."
She went to work and came back with a brown paper bag that had his boating shoes in it. They had new heels. She also gave him a compass and a rucksack that had belonged to her boyfriend.
"Thank you," he said.
That evening, they ate together and she told him that her boyfriend had left her.
"We came to England so that he could get better work," she said. "We'd only been here a few months. Then, one Saturday, a woman came with two suitcases and a baby. He had a child. I thought that he would tell them to go, but he didn't. He picked up his baby, and it was like seeing a man that I didn't know. I said that I was going for a walk. When I got back, they'd gone. He left all his things, even his dog. Every day I wake up and I think, today is the day that he will come back. And every day he doesn't.
He might come back.
It was a year ago."
She was trying not to cry. He stayed one more night and left very early. He put a postcard on his bed, thanking her. In the east, light began to fill the sky. Harold spoke gently to the dog as he closed the door behind him. It had been hard being Martina's guest. It was hard to understand a little about someone and then walk away.